You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, the Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Now, I like this part of the show when it's like, go, go, Sita, go. Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. And our show is live. And, of course, it's live on the web.
Yeah,
it's not live in person like a lot of people want. I think people might get a little fed up of looking at us, so that's okay. A couple of minutes is good.
Yeah, we're just
Ellen Little is
stuff.
Here, my co-host, and we have Mr. John Kalish is here with us, and he is with an organization called, A Hero for Kids?
A Hero for Kids.
A True Hero for Kids. And John, I just love what you do, John. So we're going to talk a little bit with John in the second half of the show, but the first part of the show, we're going to speak with a girl named Kristen Lindeen. And she and her father, John, has authored so many great books. But one in particular, she's going to be talking to us about something called QBQ, the question behind the question. It's her website. I did put it on my Facebook. And we're going to be talking to her about the importance of personal responsibility and accountability, not just in the workplace, but in your life, with your neighbors, with people you come in contact with. And I've been reading the stuff on her website, and one of the things I like is, you know, we've gotten away in our communities and in our jobs and people that we meet with eye contact, looking at people when you speak with them. I'm not sure if it's just social media is the blame, but people just, they're not real anymore. We need to get back to that day when everyone knows who their neighbors are. And who's living in your community, and who's going to bed hungry, and who can't afford their bills, and who's struggling to pay medical bills. What happened to good old conversation, right?
Right.
We all talk about conversations, and around election time, you see a lot of town halls, and you see a lot of people reaching out to their neighbors, but this is stuff that shouldn't be going on only when it's time to vote. It should be year-round. The minute you wake up, you should care about your family members, your friends, your coworkers. And it's amazing when you take time to speak with people and
ask them,
about their background. And just simple three words, how are you? And it's amazing. I've tried that, and sometimes I'll say, how are you? And it's amazing. People will offload a lot of things on you. But sometimes you learn great things, like what's going on in the community, or maybe someone's attending an event, like maybe something with the Hero for Kids, and you learn from each other. It's kind of like marketing 101, but you're using your own self to do it. And as we were talking earlier before we went on air, all these things, you're not born with it. No parent is born with a handbook, and no human being comes into this universe with a handbook. We learn from each other. We're such wonderful creatures created from the Creator above that we could learn from each other and make this world such a peaceful, loving world by just changing our behaviors towards each other. That's and, of course, today's Earth Day.
Yes,
so
it is.
So we want to know what
and
everybody
Sally
is
Harry
doing
actually mentioned
for
it
Earth
during
Day.
This, that it is Earth
yeah.
Day.
Yeah. So, John, tell me, what are you doing for Earth Day? Anything in particular that you thought you would do?
You know what? Honestly, I woke up this morning and found out that it was Earth Day, so I didn't have a lot of plans for Earth Day, but I know that we recycle.
Yeah.
You know, as a family, we recycle. We don't throw away anything that can go into the green container. So we're doing our part. Chris Castro with the City of Orlando, I know him and his sustainability efforts. So, you know, a lot of cities are starting to go that route. Obviously, we want to be like Seattle, which is amazing at recycling. You know, you get 34% and over in recycling, and you're doing a great job.
Or get the children to be more
exactly.
interested in nature. Somebody right. said today would be a great day to plant a garden. with a child. Because what happens when you wake up in the morning and you see beautiful flowers? It makes your day. You know, of course, some people live in apartment buildings and they can't, but they could use a flower pot.
That's right. Yeah.
If there's a well, will, there's a way,
a window
right?
garden.
Yeah, you can. Or garden. Maybe get a painting. Paint something.
So one of the things I think nationally, it's usually at 8 o'clock, but at 9 o'clock tonight, I'm going to turn everything off. So everything's going to go off for an hour.
Oh,
spend a little time. So get off the grid.
Yeah.
But I think our Colin is calling in right now. So we're gonna
I think it's wonderful.
I think Kristen is going to call in right now.
Yeah. So Kristen Lindeen is, I hope I'm saying it right. Kristen Lindeen is on the Thank you. Kristen is on the phone, and she's calling in on our radio show here in Cocoa, Florida, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I am so impressed by you and your dad and all the great things you're doing. And, you know, for the longest while, I wondered, what does QBQ stand for? And then I went on your website, and I started reading, and I'm totally amazed by all the things you're doing. So, Kristen, I was going to tell our listeners a little bit about your background, but then I thought, I'll just have you tell us, give us a little bio about yourself. And thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sita. It's great to be here today. I appreciate you letting me call in. I love talking about QBQ. It's a family business. My dad wrote the book and created the concept almost 20 years ago now, but for some reason, we continue to stay relevant and prevalent in today's training world, which is great, because typically things come and go in the training world. But QBQ, the question behind the question, has staying power because it's personal accountability. It's all about what I can do to change me. And that is what is so incredible about the QBQ is it's a very simple tool to help each one of us ask better questions. So let me give you a brief example. When things don't go as I'd planned, I tend to want to ask questions like, why is this happening to me? When is someone going to help me fix this problem? Who caused this problem anyway? But what QBQ, the question behind the question, helps us do is it helps us pause and take a deep breath and in the moment say, what can I do to solve this problem? How can I take personal accountability right now? So my dad, John Miller, created this concept, like I said, about 2 decades ago. I was in high school at the time. I never expected to be part of the family business.
Well, you know, I did invite John to come on the show, and he says, I think you would like to have Kristen.
So yes, exactly.
Yeah, he kind of put you in the front, but I did tag him this morning, and I said, thank you for hooking us up. But I like what you do, because what you're doing is what we need right now, not just in America, but in the world. People to communicate and have conversations and look each other in the eye and talk and take a deep breath and pause and listen to what people are saying. And it's amazing that after 20 years, your dad's book is doing so well.
It is. It is. And I really think that's a testimony to the timeless nature of our need for personal accountability. Because at a gut level, human beings are always going to look to push the blame off, to push the responsibility off to someone else, or to some outside circumstance. Even if we don't look to other people, we're going to say, oh, well, that's just fate, or, oh, that just happened to me. Those are the circumstances. That's the situation. But that doesn't help anybody in that moment.
Right.
What helps is when we're able to look at ourselves and say, okay, well, here's what I could have done differently. Here's how I could communicate differently, and what can I do moving forward to avoid this problem happening again?
Right, and, you know, we all say, there's something is good and it's bad, right? And we all know what's wrong from what's right. So I think at some point we have to have a little conscience that says, okay, well, stop for a minute. And, you know, some of us talk to ourselves and we get really good answers,
get
right?
Better answers.
Yes.
And it's amazing when you take the time to look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, Sita Begee, let's go through this one more time. What happened today that you got so angry about something? And 9 times out of 10, you could actually figure out where you went wrong, and you could fix it, right?
Yes, that's absolutely true. If you're honest with yourself and can really take a good look at it, you can figure out what you did to cause the problem, and then figure out a way to move forward from that and hopefully change it in the future.
So what is the biggest benefit that you see with QBQ?
When I work with clients out in the marketplace, wherever I might get hired, the biggest takeaway that I consistently hear from people is, wow, I expected to come in here into this training and get a tool for work. But what I've walked away with is not only a tool for work, but also a tool that is going to help me in my personal life. So what I think the biggest benefit about QBQ is that it's a whole life tool. It's not just personal accountability in the workplace. It's personal accountability everywhere in your life, no matter where you are. It's not something you take off and leave at your desk in your cubicle on the job. It's something that you bring home, and it helps families and relationships and marriages and communities when we're all practicing the question behind the question, asking these better questions. And let me just explain, I missed this part earlier, but a QBQ, the way we define that, the way we make sure we're building these better questions, there's three guidelines. So QBQs begin with what or how, they contain an I, and they focus on action. So that just kind of helps us break it down in that moment, especially when we're frustrated. Sometimes I'm like, oh, what's the better question to ask here? I don't even know. But if I can remember, okay, start with what or how, contain an I, and focus on action. What can I do to change?
That's
how
right.
How can I help? Very simple.
And you guys talk a lot about leadership. And to me, a good leader sets an example. You lead by how you act. You lead by what you learn and how you put it into actions, right? So you
Absolutely.
Do a lot. You go all over the country and you speak about leaderships, and you speak about the three traps, about victim thinking, procrastination, and blame. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, so the QBQ helps us avoid these three really common traps. We call them traps because they tend to get us stuck. We tend to get stuck in these cycles of asking these bad questions. So questions that begin with why, like, why is this happening to me? Why doesn't anyone understand me? Why don't you work as hard as I work? These questions lead us to victim thinking. And victim thinking is a problem. It's a state of mind. It's a mentality that really gets us stuck in a rut. So when we're asking those why questions, one of the best things we can do is pause, set aside the why questions, and ask a QBQ instead, beginning with what or how instead of why. And then procrastination is the second trap that we talk about, and that happens when we ask questions that begin with when. When is someone else going to solve that problem? When is someone going to tell me what to do? When is someone going to clarify the vision? These questions, you can feel it. When I say when is someone else, I'm waiting for other people to take action instead of taking action myself.
Well, I think that's why a lot of people call me a one-man committee.
Right.
Because I pretty much do everything myself. And it's,
see, you're just taking action.
That's
yeah,
right.
I do. I do because, you know what, I ran for office for a state representative here in Florida, right? And I was sitting with a couple of friends, and they said, well, when are you going to do a kickoff party? And you need a venue, and you need a menu, and you need people to help clean up. So I said, well, wait a minute. I have a yard that could hold about 40 to 50 cars. And I know how to cook a good curry chicken rice, make a salad, and make a veggie shepherd's pie. And I have tons of friends. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do my own kickoff party. And they looked at me and they're like, well, you're the candidate. I'm like, and the point is, there is no point. I can do it. And I did it.
Right.
And I did it. And I was so proud of myself. The only thing, you know, because I think when you wait for other people to do things for you, it does not go the way you want it most of the time. And that person is not, they don't really have all the ideas that you have in your head. And it takes so long to tell somebody else what to do. Mm-hmm. You might as well do it.
Yeah, preach, girl.
Preach. So I mean, this morning I was reading about something about one of the presidential candidates was talking about student loan forgiveness. And then there were so many comments, pros and cons about, well, why should we pay everybody else's bills and why? And then I started thinking, well, maybe people ought to take a good look at something as debt forgiveness and say, well, let's compromise. Well, maybe there's a way we can do both. We can give people a little help, but at the same time, not give them every single cent that somebody else worked for and is paying their taxes with. So, I mean, compromise, right?
Well, and to Kristen's Absolutely. Point, it changes it from why to what.
Yeah, what can we do? Well, right. We could teach more people about the two-year program that you can get in high school where you graduate with a high school diploma and you get 2 years of college. Well, how can we do that? Get more parents involved in their children's lives with personal accountability and say, listen, this happens in high school. Why aren't you taking advantage of it? Because a lot of people don't know about that, right?
Yep. Instead of why isn't anyone taking advantage of this, what can I do to make sure communication is clear? How can I clarify the message? What can I do to let people know about these opportunities that they're missing out on?
Right.
I think that's a lot more effective than why isn't anyone fixing the system and when is everyone going to get their act together? And it's
yeah,
just, it's a better
because,
question.
Because it makes such a difference when you say it to a taxpayer who's working their entire life to pay taxes. And you say, well, I want you to pay for someone's four-year college. Well, why not say, hey, did you know about this program in high school that you can get 2 years of college when you graduate in addition to your high school diploma? That changes the conversation because the messaging is different,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the person at the other end is not thinking, oh, my God, 4 years of college, that's a lot. So
yeah.
Why? So tell you deal with people who have to change, dealing with change. What? Why is it so difficult for people to deal with change?
Oh my goodness, I think it's just in our nature. I think we're fearful at our core, and the unknown is scary for many people. There's very few people that I've met who are like, yes, let's change.
Right.
There are people who are more open to that, but I'd say in general, the people, the general population is fearful of that. And so when you come at someone and say, hey, you need to change, like that's a scary message. But being able to gently coach people and encourage them to look at themselves and say, well, what can I do to change? What baby steps can I take to improve myself, to open my worldview, to see other people's sides of the conversation? I think that can help people kind of take those baby steps towards change. I think just telling people, man, you need to change. This isn't working anymore. That's a little bit tricky. But providing them tools and gently encouraging them and coaching them along the way can add some benefit to their lives for sure.
Do you see a lot of results when you speak with people? Maybe, like you say, it's not just for the workplace, but people who are heading for divorce. Because we've seen where so many people just don't communicate anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't communicate, yep. Whether it's in the workplace or whether it's buying an item in a store. People, you just can't find people who just want to look somebody in the eye and say, let's talk about this. Where have we lost that in the United States? Because we're seeing that here in Florida. I see it at work. I see it on the road when you're driving. It used to be people would smile and just signal to you, mm-hmm, come in the lane or make a left or whatever. They don't even do that anymore. They're just so mad all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think anger is a real problem. I think in many areas of life, we're angry, we're frustrated, we're short-tempered, and we could go into all sorts of reasons why. I mean, honestly, I have four kids. We could talk about sugar intake and how that changes a person's personality, because my children turn into little monsters when they have too much sugar. But I think there's a lot of reasons why frustration, anger, the general lack of politeness has disappeared. And I think that personal accountability is a crucial topic to that, because again, it always is coming back to that individual. Instead of saying, well, why is that person so angry and why don't you love me the way you used to and what happened to our marriage? I don't understand. Why did you do this to us? Looking externally like that and pushing the blame and the responsibility outward, that doesn't serve the other person, and that definitely doesn't serve me, because I'm not learning, growing, changing, adapting, doing all the things that I need to do my part to improve and to change. I think specifically with divorce, I have a number of people in my life circles right now heading toward divorce, and it is very difficult to change that trajectory once you're on it. So I think the most important thing, I'm not saying a marriage is not able to be saved, but I think the most important thing, if you are married, is to recognize that no one is immune to relational troubles. No one is immune to the possibility of divorce. So looking at that and taking a hard look at each other and saying, what can we do right now while we're in an okay place or a good place to continue to gain tools and improve our relationships so that when a rough patch comes, maybe we're not so quick to call it quits.
Right.
So doing things like reading through the QBQ book together, going through the workbook together and asking those tough questions about how can I improve and how can we improve our communication, doing that now so that maybe we can avoid the tragedy of divorce and relational difficulties later on.
You know, my daughter and I were talking about this a few weeks ago, and she said, you know, Mom, a lot of people can avoid a lot of conflict in their lives if they live the life they can afford. Many times people who are just trying to outdo someone else, or they're putting, like my mother used to say, you put your hat where you can't reach it. You know, So I think, you know, oftentimes a personal responsibility goes a long way. Well, if you make $10 to $15 an hour, you can't live the life of somebody who's making $30 an hour, because somebody is going to end up with a lot of credit card debt that's going to cause a lot of trouble and turmoil in their lives. And that's one of the things, financial literacy, that I think that they don't teach children or even high schoolers properly. Some children are leaving school and they don't even know how to balance a checkbook.
Absolutely.
And all these things add up to when you become an adult and you're angry and you're upset. And we're talking about road rage. Well, how about just leaving the house 15 minutes early?
Right.
Right. What can I do to avoid being angry on the road? Don't be late.
Right.
Don't be running late. Come
right.
on, get out the
every
door
clock
faster.
In my house is set 10 minutes fast.
I know.
I know.
You know that.
So you also talk on your website a lot about creativity and belief in oneself, that one can be creative. Talk to us a little bit about that.
I'm sorry, I missed that. About creativity?
Yes. Creativity.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite phrases is, it's in one of our books, honestly, I'm sorry, I can't remember which one, but I think it's Flipping the Switch. But we talk about, you know, you've heard the phrase, like, creativity is thinking outside the box.
Yes.
You've heard that phrase, maybe? We like to say that creativity is succeeding within the box. That's true creativity. When you're given a box, you're given a set of tools, a set of resources, whatever that looks like in your life, and you're able to say, what can I do to achieve with the tools I've been given? Because we don't all have the ability to reach outside the box, whatever box that might be, and get more tools or get more resources or get more people, get more money. So when we can create and achieve and reach our goals within the confines of our resources, whatever those may be, I think that's true creativity. And I love seeing that happen.
Well, that's what our friend John Kalish is going to be talking about in the second segment, because he is very creative. He started a nonprofit in his home, and I just said to him, well, don't you have to have money for your office space? And he goes, no, I do it all from home.
Absolutely.
And it's quite successful the way he does it, because people trust him and they respect him and they believe in what he's doing. So you're pretty creative, John.
I tell you, and it's all about using what you have and making the best of everything that you have.
Right. And Kristen, so we just want to tell our listeners, we're speaking with Kristen Lindeen, and she's, where are you calling in from, Pennsylvania?
I'm actually in Minneapolis.
Oh, you are? I don't know why.
I'm in Minneapolis. The company is based in Denver, Colorado, but I'm in Minneapolis.
How's the weather out there?
Oh, yesterday it was 77. Today it's rainy, but we're good. There's no more snow.
Yeah, and you were really busy with the Easter weekend, too, because your husband is a pastor of a church as well?
Yes, we are recovering from Easter. Yeah, it was a very busy. My husband actually started a church about 4 years ago, so we know that whole entrepreneurial mindset, working from our home type thing
right.
really well.
And one of the other things you talk a lot about on your website, and I've been following, I've been reading some of the posts that your father put up as well. And one thing I like about you guys, integrity comes to mind. Every time I think about your dad and I think about you, I think about that word integrity. And I like what he writes, because he's able to have a conversation started, no matter what it is, in a very peaceful manner and in a way that people can be respectful to each other. And so talk a little bit about integrity as well.
I think integrity is one of those words that we tack on to our value systems in companies and in organizations, and we don't always really know what it is. We throw it on there because we know it's a good word and we know it's something to strive for. But I like to just make it really simple. Integrity is being what I say I am. If I say I'm a person of accountability, then I need to be taking responsibility and having tools and systems for doing that. And that's what the question behind the question helps us do. And being a person of integrity is living according to my beliefs and standing up for what is right and saying what I think, even when it's hard and even when there might be some relational consequences. But it's also speaking all those things in truth and with love and kindness. And I think that QBQ helps us live a life of integrity, because that's a lifelong goal. That's not something that I can reach. Being a person of integrity is something I'm striving toward actively every single day.
And also learning from your past.
Helps us do that.
And, you know, absolutely. Also learning from your past and also having the ability to forgive and learn from mistakes as well. I think all of that plays a part of integrity as well. Because so many people are not willing to say, well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that way. And but you know, those of us who can do that, we make for better human beings, because
absolutely.
We wake up every day.
Say, yeah, I did that wrong, but here's how I'm going to change
fix it
because of that. Here's what I learned.
Right, because nobody has all the answers, and I think that's the biggest problem that human beings. Sometimes human beings can be their own worst enemy. You know, there's nothing wrong with learning about different people's cultures and beliefs and religions, and saying to yourself, well, you know, I was taught something different, but I'm glad I learned that today, because now I could change the way I think. So we have a couple of minutes left, and I know this is when Ellen will ask you to give the website.
Your website info. I've actually posted all of this great material that you've been sharing with us today. I've posted it on our CETA Media page on Facebook, so please check that out. But how do people get in touch with you? I saw on your website you have training, meet the speakers, which looked like it was you and your dad. Tell us a little bit about the website. How do we get in touch with you, and what types of training do you do?
Yeah, thank you. The easiest and best way to get in touch with us is to hit up the website, and there's a inquire form that you can just click on Contact Us. Otherwise, you can email us at John, J-O-H-N, at QBQ.com to get the author himself, or you can get me at Kristin, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, at QBQ.com. But we're at QBQ.com. You can find our books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can find our books with us. We blog at our website, so you can browse through there and kind of see the topics. QBQ touches everything. We might be all about personal accountability, but personal accountability is the foundation for every other topic you can think of. So we talk about relationships and parenting and business and management and leadership and all sorts of different things on our blog.
And not dumping your problems, right? And not dumping your problems on other people.
Yes, definitely. We want to own it. I actually wrote a curriculum for 6th through 12th graders called I Own It, and parents are buying that and doing it with their kids at the kitchen table to help their kids learn about personal accountability, because that next generation needs it just as badly as we do. So you can find all these things on our website. We have in-house trainings. We have virtual trainings where I can just come to you from my home office and run a training with your small group of people in a conference room. We've got all sorts of stuff. So just hit up QBQ.com. That's the best way to find us. We're also pretty active on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. So
you have a lot of energy, my friend, with the four children, the Easter, the church, helping your father, and all the stuff that you talk about, leadership and teamwork and service and change and communication. And you're very creative yourself. So I thank you and your father for being my friends. We'll continue being friends. Would love to have you call in again. And maybe John will call in another time with you as well.
Oh, you'd love to have him. He's a hoot.
Yeah,
thank you for having me today.
Thank you
so much for calling in. And we are going to take a quick station break to hear from our sponsors here on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends. So stay tuned. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Viewpoint with CETA and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of CETA McGee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply CETA Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of CETA and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. What a robust first half an hour we had with Kristin Ledeen.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a friend named Kristin Ledeen with the L-E. So that's why I had to be careful.
Yeah, you did.
But she hit it on the head, you know, about creativity and communication and leadership and
personal accountability,
thinking outside of the box. I mean, actually, I feel like her course that she teaches should be in all middle school and high school as well, because so many people come out into this big bad world and they don't know how to manage.
Well, and they have that option that's on here. Many of her books are on here on her website, qbq.com, but she did write that curriculum for middle school and high schoolers called I Own It.
I love it.
And
I just
love
it. She's
delivering that message as well. Yeah.
And now our second segment, I want my listeners to actually think about this question. Are you passionate about helping your community? Because if you are, and you're looking for ways to help, and we're not asking you for cash, we're asking you to donate things like books and book bags and stuff. There's a gentleman in town. His name is John Bruce Wayne without the billions, Kalish. Name is John Kalish. I love it. And he's with a foundation called A Hero for Kids. And everyone knows I am a Facebook social media junkie because my husband goes to bed early and I have a lot of time. And I enjoy reading a lot of articles and reading about people that are making a difference in our community here in Florida, as well as around the world. And John, I saw what you were doing with these children all dressed up like Bruce Wayne.
Well,
so tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about A Hero for Kids.
Okay, so A Hero for Kids is a group, an all-volunteer group, I want to point out. Nobody gets paid from our foundation. It's all volunteers. I dress up as Batman, so that's where the Bruce Wayne without the billions comes from. And as Batman, I'll go to schools, events with other organizations, events with first responders, and we give out books, backpacks, school supplies, During the holiday season, we'll collect gifts and donate them to children or to organizations. And it's just something, you know, we were talking about something in your DNA. It's all about service.
And you're also
yourself.
A veteran.
I am a veteran.
Thank you for your service, John. We really appreciate people like you in the service and who served.
Right.
It's wonderful.
I'm an Army veteran, Army proud, as they say. And I'm also a Toys for Tots coordinator, which you know is the Marine Corps. So I love working with our Marines, and I love harassing them.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's
something going on. And we find out you're also a follower of Gandhi in what you say, service above self.
Service above self.
I love that. And we were just talking, Ellen and I and John were just saying, it's in our DNA. I don't understand the people who don't give back. I don't understand the people, okay, so you're a toddler, then you're a teenager, then you go to school, you get a profession or you get a trade or whatever it is, and you start working and giving back to society. And when you can't work, you get to a point where you volunteer.
Right.
People who would just sit at home and do nothing, I don't know. I have a pet peeve about that, Ellen. I really do.
I do too.
Because I have 18 brothers and sisters. Some have passed away. And we have nieces and nephews coming out the yin-yang. But nobody in our family ever went on food stamps. Nobody ever took something from someone. We have a social security system built into our family. Right. And we have heroes in our family. And we have people that counsel and guide and teach and mentor. And yeah, if you fall on hard times, we don't send you to someone else. We help you. Right. We pull you up by the bootstrap. We teach you how to plant. We teach you how to cook. We teach you how to sew. We teach you how to be creative and make a little change. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to feel bad about yourself.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what John is doing. He's a volunteer, and he has so many other people. So where do you find your volunteers to help?
It's amazing. We'll run into him at other events. For instance, our Joker. He happened to be at a costume event that we were at, and he said, hey, you know, I've got some time on my hands. I'm retired. I've got a Polaris slingshot. It kind of looks like a Batmobile, and I'd love to dress up as the Joker with you. I met a gentleman who's a professional wrestler that is going to dress up as Aquaman for us. He looks just like Aquaman. Jesse Neal, if you want to look him up on the internet, Google him. He looks just like the guy that plays Aquaman, and he's going to be our Aquaman. He also happens to be a U.S. Navy vet who was on the USS Cole when it was attacked. And he lost a good friend during that attack. So he is a very passionate veteran about volunteering and working with the community.
And you guys see a lot because you travel all over the world and you've seen more things than most people.
Yeah.
And you can appreciate when you come home to the United States and what we offer.
Well, it's about camaraderie, too. You know, it's about you're watching everybody's back. So when you get back and you're a member of these groups or you're volunteering, you're watching other people's back is what it boils down to.
So how did this get started? You this the hero.
Well, I was a director with a large Central Florida nonprofit, and we had a program that we took books to schools. And one day we were with Jamie Holmes from WFTV, and I'm not plugging him, but good guy. And
we good guys.
He's a good guy. And we were giving books to children, and Jamie and I got to talking about dressing up and how we could grow that type of initiative. So I said, well, I'll dress up as Batman. So we go to three elementary schools about 2 weeks later. I'm dressed up as Batman, and the kids went absolutely
insane. He Robin?
He was not. No. He wasn't Robin, although that would have probably been a good idea. I don't know how he would have enjoyed that. He would have probably rather have been the commissioner or something along those lines. But the kids loved it. And I had figured out that if I hand a book to a kid, the child goes, dude gave me a book. Batman hands him a book, and they love that book. Yeah. And I'll autograph it a lot of times, you know, be good, Batman. And they take that book home, and I've heard from folks from events 2 and 3 years ago that child still has that book.
Yeah.
So we want our listeners to know we're speaking with Mr. John Kalish, and on his bio, he wrote down for us, John Bruce Wayne without the billions, Kalish. So you have an idea that he's just giving back so much of his time, and he's a founder and president and the CEO of a Hero for Kids Foundation, and it's a tax-exempt organization or foundation. So where do you get the funds that you need to do all what you're doing?
Well, to date, this has pretty much been self-funded. We don't ask for donations in cash because we just, any donations that we do get in cash, we end up turning them into backpacks and school supplies and books. So we ask folks to donate backpacks, school supplies, and books during this time of year. As we get closer to the holidays, we're looking for toys for children. As we roll into the first of the year, we're looking again for school supplies and meals as we get into the summer, because when school ends for the year, children that are on free lunches, that lunch goes away. And there are a lot of good organizations out there that are trying to get meals to children.
So you partner up with some of these as
well? We will partner up with them to get meals to children.
So I could just imagine your garage or that room in the house. Who helps you organize it? Because you probably have a lot of stuff.
We've got a lot of stuff. Yeah, we've got, as a matter of fact, our three-car garage is a three-car storage unit. So we have the books, and we go through quite a bit of books. So if we take in 10,000 books, 10,000 books go out pretty quickly. We'll donate. We'll also donate to Gift for Teaching if we get in a, you know, an overabundance.
Do you donate overseas as well, like to countries, other countries, or you just have enough for here?
Yeah, just for here. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be opposed to that if we
the
met
shipping
an organization.
Cost, yeah.
Yeah, there's always shipping involved
and
customs involved.
Yes, yes.
And did it really end up where you expected it to end up?
Well, that's the whole point, is we have so many people that are in need here, too.
Right.
Not that we don't want to look at our overseas partners, but...
But we were saying that a child, when you learn to read by third grade, your future is brighter than if you don't.
Many studies that show that. If a child isn't embracing reading by the third grade, their odds of graduating high school diminish. And their odds of going on furthering their education in college is really dismal. And as we know, education is the great equalizer. I talk to a number of law enforcement and the courts and all of that. You know, they're not locking up college graduates.
Right.
They're locking up high school dropouts
and
kids that have lost direction. And the cost to society is just
astronomical.
Catch them early.
So John, we all talk about our zip code, right? Sometimes they say you are your zip code. Where do you find most of the referrals for children who need these books and need these backpacks?
It is the Title I schools. And a lot of the websites you go on Brevard County Schools website, the Osceola County, Seminole County, and you can identify the Title I schools. And you visit the Title I school and you speak to the counselors. And for our Christmas initiative, the counselors will give us a list of names of children that are really in need. We went to one school a few weeks ago, and there was a child who was wearing her brother's shoes because her family didn't have shoes, and we got that child a pair of shoes. So
sometimes I want to shake those parents and say, where's the father of this child or the mom? I mean, it's, you know, when as you get older and you see the haves and the haves not, and you see, like you said, you know, who can attend college and who can do a trade and have an apprenticeship or whatnot, and you see the disadvantages that children have when they don't have two parents that love them in a home or a grandparents or mentors or somebody. And it's like, why do you bring these innocent children into this planet if you're not prepared 100% to take care of them? And that's a whole different show. It makes you so sad when you see, because I know people that talk to Ellen and I about these issues, about child raising and not having enough funds to raise their kids and homelessness and sleeping in a car and being bullied. And all these things come from a society that's falling apart.
It's true. It's true. And we see it all the time. We go to these community events where the sheriff's departments or the fire departments will put it on. And these kids are eating, you know, the hot dogs and hamburgers like they haven't eaten, you know, and grabbing the ice cream and that. And you look at them and you give them a stuffed animal, and it's like the greatest gift they ever got. And to us, it's, you know, donated things by generous folks that we can turn around and pass on to them.
But the looks on their face, you know, that makes it all worthwhile.
Right. And, you know, you get back in this life what you put out as well. If you volunteer and if you give back to your communities, people will do it for you in your time of need as well. But there are a lot of people who are not willing to do that either. How do you get your volunteers? You have a website?
Well, we do. It's a heroforkids.org, and you can contact us there. You can also on Facebook. We have a larger presence on Facebook than the website because I'm not an IT guru, and of course, I'm the IT department.
Yeah.
So Facebook being as user-friendly as it is, it's facebook.com/aheroforkids. And then we also have a Hero for Kids Foundation.
So right. And you're expanding. I'm sure you have, you want to do more things for the future. So what are your goals for the future for Hero for Kids?
Well, right now we have a request into the Osceola County School District to donate a school bus to us. We were the business partner of the year for Reedy Creek Elementary School. We won that award just a couple of weeks ago. And what we're going to try to do with the school bus, I've got several businesses in the St. Cloud, Kissimmee area that do bodywork and painting and such. So we're going to strip the bus out because I know we're going to get the bus, positive thinking, right?
Right.
And so we're going to strip it out. We're going to redo the interior, and we're going to use that as kind of a mobile literacy unit. So we'll be able to get to more places, deliver more books. Because that Batman costume, believe it or not, is really hot. I don't know how they do it in the movies, but that thing is extremely hot.
Warm inside. Well, you know,
warm.
I've always wondered, like, we've got the most beautiful libraries in the United States. I grew up in the islands in Trinidad and Tobago, and for the grace of God, I was so grateful that people gave us their old books that had dogs' ears on it. And sometimes we didn't have a cover, but we just loved books. And it's such a grateful feeling that when somebody says, hey, I'm going to give you this book. But we here in the United States, we have so many libraries. And they're not far from where people live. And a friend of mine was saying to me, you know, the libraries, you don't see mothers and fathers with children reading anymore. And in other countries, people are just waiting for books. What has happened that parents... their responsibility to go to a library with a child, if you have a couple of hours per week, and read with your own kid. We're not even saying read with somebody else's kid. Read with your own kid.
Yeah.
What has happened to reading?
I think the internet, I think the, you know, the time we spend on the internet and the time we spend on Facebook and social media, there's 50 different social media sites out there. So it's taking away from that. We were talking about this earlier, that personal, you know, the one-to-one, the communication, people actually talking. I mean, you go into restaurants now and look around, and families are sitting at the table, and everybody's got a cell phone in their hand, and they're not communicating.
Easter dinner yesterday, I saw it. My husband was number one culprit. He had his phone out, and I had to say, I had mine too, but it was under my mat.
That's no excuse.
Yeah, you were busted.
I was busted.
We, you know, I leave mine in the car anymore because it's so tempting. You know, it rings. My watch, I can answer the phone on my watch.
I know.
I mean, it's getting crazy. Yeah. We are so connected now.
Well, of course, because you're Batman.
Well, yeah, because you never know when a call is going to come in.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see that we're so connected now. I remember the days of having a pager and quarters in your pocket where you'd go find a payphone and answer a call when somebody called. And now it's so instantaneous. People expect you to oh, you didn't answer my call. Oh, you didn't answer my text.
I know. They just want. But, you know, remember the days when somebody had a copy of a Hardy Boys book or Nancy Drew? And you had to, it was such an organized way of borrowing and lending and owning a book. I remember, like, they would say, well, I have to let XYZ borrow it first. So you're, like, fifth in line. And you would wait, like, weeks. They would say, well, maybe you'll get it in July. And here you're speaking about it in April.
Right.
And I have to tell you how I waited with, you know, like, I was counted days when my turn would come for that book. Because I just loved reading, and we couldn't afford to buy the book. So it was so important to us. And you're giving it to these children. And I do hope that the parents are taking their personal responsibility to ensure that the kids are reading these books.
You would hope. You know, of course, we're not going right into the homes with them or anything. But we'll do readings also at some of these events. Lisa Bell from Channel 6 wrote a great
kids' book that we read to the children, Norman the Gnome. And we'll get, we call it celebrity readers, but it's police officers or firefighters or veterans that are with us, and they'll read to the child. And that's what we're trying to get across to these children, that although I'm dressed up as Batman and there's Aquaman and there's Batgirl and all of these superheroes, the real superheroes are the first responders and the veterans. So we'll get pictures with the kids and say, hey, come here, let's get a picture with the real superhero. Oh, that's you. No, that's that officer over there.
So how does someone donate or volunteer? Do they contact you directly?
Yeah, you can contact me directly at John, J-O-H-N, at aheroforkids.org. You can get on the Facebook page, A Hero for Kids, or on our website, aheroforkids.org.
And you're setting such a great example. Do you have a lot of your friends that were with you in the military that are helping too, or just your neighbors or people you meet in public? So you talk to people.
I do.
You're like me. And you know, when people were giving Joe Biden such a big time, they were giving him a horrible time for hugging. I think it's good. You have to know who, though, right?
Well, yeah.
But you do chat with people.
Right. Well, you know, even dressed as Batman, you got to be a little careful about
who you're going to hug
child,
as Batman,
who,
too.
Who you're going to hug. Right. You know, you don't want to be out there getting the Joe Biden tag on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the personal touch, the just listening to folks, you know, you can tell by talking to somebody. But yeah, I'm also a member of the Mission Continues, which is a veterans group where us older veterans mentor the younger veterans. I'll get folks, men and women from there who will volunteer with us for service projects. We'll build a ramp at a disabled veteran's house or lay sod at a, you know, a wounded warrior's home. And
we've seen such a lot of negative things about people who just use the word veteran.
Right.
I've seen that a lot too. I've seen where people who want to, you know, they just prey on others when they say, oh, a wounded veteran or a veteran. And they're not really truthful about it.
That's right.
And it put a bad taste in some people's mouth about that. And for a while there, we were hearing a lot about that.
Oh, yeah. And you have to, I always say vet an organization. Get online, Google them, see what they're really doing. Is it just a fundraising scam where, you know, 99 cents of the dollar goes to
administrative
stuff. Fees, right. And a penny?
And they can do it legally.
Oh,
really,
absolutely.
They can.
Absolutely.
And so you do have a lot of events that you attend. Do
right.
you have a lot of upcoming events that we could tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends?
Right. Well, we have a community barbecue coming up with the Orange County Sheriff's Office with Sheriff John Mina. That's coming up in May 7th. We've got a lot. Please go to the
and
website.
And you have a back-to-school yeah. drive
oh,
coming up.
Oh, we've got back-to-school
drive.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll do the back-to-school. Right now, we're in the midst of collecting school supplies. So, you know, get us your school supplies. We'll pick them up. I mean, we'll come by and pick them up. If you have a business or an organization that would like to collect school supplies for us, let us know. If you want Batman to appear at something you're doing, especially if you're a nonprofit or a church or an organization that wants to do a school supply drive, let us know.
Yeah, because people feel so included when you let them. And you guys have participated in 57 community and school events. Thank you.
Yes,
that was
last year.
You donated 15,000 children's books and stuffed animals, and you do a lot for Christmas as well.
We do. You know, those.
Do you partner with the biker dudes, the fellas on the bikes?
Well, you know what? We are looking to do a bike run, a poker run, they call it, and that's going to be with AmVets. They contacted us, and they're looking to partner up with that. And, of course, this year, we'll work with Toys for Tots, with my friends at the Marines. Mm-hmm. And we'll collect toys for children and, you know, just anything we can do truly for the children, the veterans, the first responders, just, you know, giving back to the community along with our volunteers giving back.
And can people give used books that are in good condition, or does it have to be brand new ones?
No, please. Used books in good condition are great. And what we found was children's books, they look brand new anyway.
Because most of the time. They're not used a lot,
exactly,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, they're reading them once or twice. They get tired of that. They outgrow it. and you're looking to get it back into the hands of another child. Now, we'll clean up books also. So if little Johnny happened to write into that book, we'll still take it. A child will appreciate it.
Great. And you offer the veterans an opportunity to join you guys in the days of service. And you find that this gives them like a sense of purpose, like
right.
to follow the mission kind of thing.
Yeah. When my generation got out of the military, we didn't understand what we were missing. Nobody thought about it. Nobody, quite frankly, nobody really cared. Now we've learned over the years that that's what's missing, that sense of belonging, that sense of camaraderie, that sense of mission. So if you get these younger vets and you give them a mission, a purpose, a sense of belonging, it's amazing. We've got men and women that are coming back from overseas after multiple deployments that are sitting in their houses
They're
or their
lost.
Apartments. They're lost. Yeah. They don't know what to do.
So they just need somebody to reach out and say, come with us.
Exactly.
Be part of what we're
Be
doing.
Be part of the Justice League.
Yeah.
Yes.
join
Batman.
The truth is they see so much. And we all talk about PTSD and we talk about depression. And, as a nurse, I've seen so many veterans that lost an arm or a leg. And honestly, nobody could give them a 24-hour aid to toilet, wash, dress, and groom. That's another show, too.
Right.
But the thing is, when you say to them, we have a sense of belonging, we can take you with us and we can complete this mission of books for children.
Right.
I bet they get out of their homes and they get busy.
They do. They volunteer. They will knock down the door to volunteer to have that, to get that sense of belonging.
Right. And they could start in their own communities too.
Absolutely.
Your own community centers and churches and things like that.
Yeah, go volunteer. That's what I challenge you to do. Volunteer. If 8 million people gave an hour a week of their time, that would be 8 million hours.
You sound like my dad. My dad would take us for drives sometimes, and he would show us people who were laying in their hammocks. The people had nice hammocks, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But my father would say, you see that hammock and you see that man? That hammock is contoured to the shape of that man because he's lazy. He never gets out of that hammock. You need to get out of your hammock and do something. Plant a garden, mind an animal, take care of the elderly, go clean the church. He used to say, just make a broom and start sweeping. But my dad believed that service to God was service to mankind. And he couldn't stand people that wasn't doing something. You just had to be doing something all the time. We grew up like in a camp. It was like a military camp. It was.
Yeah, but it was good. It taught good values. It taught good character.
Right. I know, but my kids,
and that's what
my
it brings
kids
it up.
Say, you grew up in such a military disciplinarian place. We're so glad we're in the United States. Little do they know, I could have done that to them here.
That's right.
Except they would have locked me up.
That's right.
So we've had a great time with you, John.
Thank you.
And Kristen, if you're listening, thank you so much for calling in. We had a great show today, Sita. Once again, you find the best people. Make sure that you tune in to A Hero for Kids. Make sure that you connect with them. And also the QBQ.com. And we'll see you next week right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM 94.7. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.